All right, Shabbos, say good morning. Good morning. Today is Daf Kuf, page 100. We are starting Tzadik Tes on the days 99b by the Gemara. So we'll remember again, the Mishnah, we have a lot to do today. Actually, the Mishnah introduced us to the fascinating idea that if I have a public thoroughfare that runs through my property, and I decide that I don't want the public to go through that path anymore, I want to take back that path and give them a different path. So the Mishnah says something very interesting, which is, so first of all, the path that I've given to the public remains the path of the public's, but the one that I took back doesn't work. So we'll say essentially what ends up happening, meaning that it still remains the property of the public. So essentially what happens at the end of the story? The public has two paths through my property now, just instead of one. Says the Gemara, Amai shalo lo higia. I don't understand. Why is it that if I took back, I mean, as long as I gave the public one path and I'm taking back another one for myself, why should that not work? Amai shalo lo higia. Linkot pazra. Belesif. I could just simply sit on the path, Rabbi Osai, that I took back for myself, and what? Sit with a big stick in my hand, and whoever tries to come down that path, I simply try to persuade them, of course, with my words and my big stick, not to come down this particular path. To which the Gemara says, Shamas mina, lo avad inish dina l'nafshei. So Rabbi Osai, is this saying that a person can't take the law into their own hands? Rabbi Osai, now what this means over here is the following. Are you telling me then that when a person runs the risk of suffering a loss, I don't have the right on my own to try to go ahead and stave off that loss? Now, we'll say, we know that happens to be not true. A person does have the ability, if they see that they are suffering some type of loss, to go ahead and take matters into their own hands. So if somebody is illegally trespassing, I do have the right to go ahead and, let me say, chase them off my property. So what's happening over here? Amar Rav Zvid Mishnei Derava, Gezeira Shema Yitin Lehem Derech Akalson. The concern over here is, the reason why Chazal said, you can't take back your property, you can't take back the path and give them a different path, is because we're concerned that the path you're going to give them, Akal Sonobo said, literally means a diagonal. What it means is circuitous. Right? Meaning, if you want to take back one path and go ahead and give the public another path, that's fine, as long as what? You're not causing any level of inconvenience to the public. Rabbi says, but just so you understand, What the underlying message over here, which is an incredibly profound yisod, is that the needs of the rabbim always outweigh the needs of the yachid. The needs of the public always of the nation, of the collective, always outweigh the needs of the individual. Klal gadol. So we'll say, so again, that's the concern over here, that if we let you take back the path, you're going to give them a circuitous route. Masharshi Mishnei Rava Amar, Benozem Derech HaKalson. So Rabbi Masharshi said, no, the Mishnah's case is actually where I took back the path and did give them a circuitous route. That's ultimately, again, where the Mishnah says that the route that I gave, the path that I gave is given, and the one that I try to take back is not effective. Top of Kuf, Ravashi Amar, Ravashi says, the truth is, whenever you go out of Rabbosai and take a path and give a new path, that new path is always called circuitous. Why Rabbosai? Because inevitably, what's going to happen with that new path? It's going to be closer to some and farther to others. In other words, unless the new path literally runs along the side of the old path, in which case, what's the point of that? So Lamaisa, it's always going to be a circuitous route for someone. And therefore, again, Ravashi seems to say, I am not permitted to take back a path in my property and give them a new one instead, out of the fact that I'm going out and causing an inconvenience to the rabbim. V'leimaluhu, shaklu didahu, v'havuli didi. So okay, so fine. So now I understand that I can't go ahead and give the public a new path. So why can't I go ahead and just simply say to the rabbim, you know what? Rabbim, whoever this amorphous rabbim is, take back your old path and let me take my path. In other words, let's just rewind the clock and go back to things as they were. Hamani Rabbi Eliezer he disanya Rabbi Hudor Mishon Rabbi Eliezer, because there's a flexible Rabbi Eliezer. What does Rabbi Eliezer say? Rabbim shebaruru derech liatzmam. Rabbi said, this is actually a very profound statement, that if the rabbim went ahead and chose a path for themselves, so the rabbim, let's say, however we're defining this rabbim, the public has made a decision. What's the public's decision? We hereby take a shortcut through Reuven's field. Right? That's our rabbim decision. Masha Beriru Beriru. What they have chosen, ultimately, again, is chosen. Look at the Rashbam, almost right across. Masha Beriru Beriru. Afa Pishlo Natlu Rishus Mi Bal Soda Ukidimuki Lola Kamon. The Chiddush over here is the Rabbim decide to go ahead and just simply cut across Ruvain's field. They've never asked any kind of permission from Ruvain, but Lamais, again, this is what they're doing. What they've taken for themselves, they've taken for themselves. So the Gemara says, Mashaber Rabbi Eliezer, Rabim Gazlanim Ninu? I don't understand. Is the public permitted just to steal from someone like that? That they probably could just decide they're going to go out and walk across somebody's yard? To which the Gemara says, Amrav Gidl, Amrav, Kigon Sha'avdalahan Derech Ba'osa Sada. What's the case of Osai? The case is where the public knows that there used to be a shortcut through Ruvain's field. Right? They know that. What's the problem? They don't remember, the path is overgrown, meaning no one knows where, everyone knows there was a path, no one knows where the path currently is. In a circumstance like that, the Gemara says, that ultimately they are permitted to go ahead and retake a new path. Not knowing, of course, if the new path is the old path, but since they had a chazukah on having a path in that field, they have the right to do so. Ihachi, amai amar rabba barafuna amarav. Ein halacha krebelozer. If that's Eliezer, if that's the case, then why would Rav say that halacha does follow Eliezer? No, I was supposed to say that halacha makes sense. That if at the end of the day there was a public path through Ruvain's field, but now over time the path got lost, that the public has the right to reclaim a path, that seems to be pretty logical. So ultimately, again, why would Rav say halacha does follow Eliezer? Ella, the Gemara says, man demasniha, lo masniha. You're right. Again, I will say it's two different opinions. Meaning, the one who gave this explanation was not the author, or was not behind, or does not support that statement. That the halacha does not follow Rabbi Eliezer. So I will say, so bottom line, what the Gemara seems to be saying over here, so far, here's what we have. What we have is that if you go ahead and there's a path for the Rabbim through my field, I can't take it, and I can't take back that path and replace it with another, because apparently the Gemara is saying that's going to inconvenience the Rabbim. Why? Because any new path is going to inevitably be circuitous for someone. Halacha number two, if the Rabbim had a path through my field, but that path over time just got lost, no one knows where it is, the Rabbim apparently have the ability to what? Have the ability to establish a new field. To which the Gemara says, v'taima mai. So let's go back for just a moment. So why don't the stand still? Why can't I get my property back? So this is the part that we're a little bit hung up on. So I understand that I can't go ahead and what? I can't take the current path of the Rabbin and replace it with a new one. Okay, I got that. Why not? Right, because the Rabbin that weighs needs the achit, and by taking the old path, I'm inconveniencing someone. So that I can't do. Okay. So again, let's play this out. I have a path that runs right, I have a path that runs through my field. So I realize, I learned the Mishnah, I wanted to give him a different path, I can't do it. So why can't I get back the new path? In other words, remember, we'll say the case over here is, I hung up my sign, I said, Rabbim, effective Vav Iyar, so again, you have to take path B. I've now come to Daf Yomi, I learned I can't give them path B, I have to give them back path A. The Mishnah Paskin, I now have lost both path A and path B. To which the Gemara says, why can't I get back the new path? In other words, the switch doesn't work. So once the switch doesn't work, give me back the new path I wanted to give them. To which the Gemara says, Mishum Rabbi Yehuda, Dam Rabbi Yehuda, Meitzar Shev, Zikov, Rabbim, Asal Kalkulo. Because we all said, Rabbi Yehuda is of the opinion that once a path, ultimately again, once the Rabbim have a chazakah, once they have established their right over a particular path, so ultimately, again, that cannot be changed. Look at the Rashbam, Sheikh Zikob Rabbim, as we'll say, it's the last short line. Shehishvo v'taknu lehiluch v'abaylim yadu v'shasku, asa l'kalkulo devad le'emachon. Both say the case over here is where, after I switched, I tried to establish the new path, the Rabbim used it for a little while. The Rabbim used it, I saw them use it, I didn't say anything. That loch is Rabbi said that once you see the public use your property and you don't object, you don't say anything, Rabbi said it's actually very important. How does one prevent the Rabbim from establishing a right of way on my property? How do you do that? You object. In other words, Rabbi said, I want to be clear. As much as the needs of the many outweigh the individual, but Lamaisa, my property is my property. So if I see people beginning to cut across my lawn, and I say, you can't do that, or I put up a fence, right? Or I get a pit bull, you know, whatever I do, that shows that I don't want this. Right? Then Rabbi said, then the rabbim do not have the right to traverse my property. This is clear. The way the rabbim make a chazak on something is when they do something and the owner doesn't object. That's when chazak is established. To which the Gemara says, the case over here, therefore, is I tried to replace path A with path B. The rabbim used path B. I didn't say anything. So Rabbi said, so essentially what I've done is I've now seeded path B in addition to path A for Rabbi Eliezer. Rabbim and I kanula. So I'll say, how did the rabbim acquire this property? Behilucha. They acquire it ultimately. I give you how do the rabbim establish a chazaka on property? And I both say the simple answer is walking. Just walking on it. Disanya. Halach ba la'akol rachba. Kana makam hilucho. I both say this is amazing. So what happens if you go ahead and you walk on any space, the length and the width, you acquired that space. Divi Rabbi Eliezer. V'cham necham say no. Ein hiluch moel klum at shiachsik. So we'll say, there is a fundamental machlokes over here. A fundamental machlokes as to how to establish chazaka on karka. So Rabbi Eliezer says that I will say, even just walking on karka establishes chazaka. The chachamim say no, that walking doesn't do anything until you do a chazaka, a proprietary act. Fundamental machlokes. And we'll say, get ready for this. I'm Rabbi Elazar. My time, Rabbi Elazar. So we'll say, so Rabbi Elazar says, no, where does Rabbi Elazar get this? I'm supposed to listen to this. My time, Rabbi Elazar. Tichsiv, kum hishalich ba'aretz li'arka ulirachba. So Rabbi will say, you know, if you needed a raya, that Yom Ha'atzmaut is a significant day. Mamish, what are the odds that this Gemara comes up, right, on this date, on a Nitche? It's pretty amazing. So the Gemara says the following, Kum hishalich baretz li'arka ulirachba, ki lecha etnena. So we'll say, what does the Pasuk say about Avraham Avinu? By Avraham Avinu, the Pasuk says, get up and walk the length and width of the land, ki lecha etnena. So we'll say, Rabbi Lazar understands that Avraham Avinu's act of walking the land was what? Was a form of chazaka. He understands that in and of itself was a form of chazaka. Therefore, you see from here what? You see walking on land is a form of chazaka. The Rabbanan saying, no, that's not chazaka. Hasam mishum chavivusa da Avram hu deka amarle. It will say, that was out of a love of Avram Avinu that ultimately HaKadosh Baruch Hu told him that. Now, what does that mean? Avram Avinu wasn't literally acquiring the land. And I will say, now the truth is, this makes a lot of sense that there wasn't an actual title. We know there's an actual title. Baharaya, what happens just a little while later? Avram Avinu has to purchase Marasa Machpela. Right? It's not his. It's not his. He doesn't own the land. Now you could say, you know, Rav Aaron Soloveitchik, Zeches Tzadik Livracha, has a beautiful distinction between what he calls spiritual title and legal title. He says that this, Avraham Avinu established spiritual title over here. This was Am Yisrael's spiritual title to the land. He says actual title, physical title, takes place a little bit first with Hebron, with Avraham Avinu, Marasa Machpelah, and then later on through Kibush Eretz Yisrael. Okay, Udika Amarlei, so the Gemara says, Mishum Chayivusa Darim Kamarlei, Hachi Kadeshiyu Noach Lichbosh Lifnei Bonov. Suppose that this is an incredible yisod. So, meaning, if Avraham Avinu was not actually acquiring the land, ultimately, again, through walking its length and its width, so why does Elish Baruch Hu tell him to do it? So the Gemara suggests this was out of love for Avram. How so? That it should be easier for Avram Avinu's children to go ahead and conquer the land. The fact that Avram Avinu walked the land made it easier for us to conquer the land. How so? But say, take a look at the first wide line in the Rashbam. Kadesh Noach, the Havaluhu ki Yershin velo ki Gazlonin. I was saying, it is much easier to conquer something that is yours than conquering something that is not yours. When Avraham Avinu walked the land, the length and the breadth of the land, what he was showing us is the land is ours. The land is ours. And so when Klal Yisrael comes in under Yehoshua, they're not conquerors of a foreign land. We're just simply taking back that which is rightfully ours. Such a beautiful, beautiful Yisod. The Kadosh Baruch Hu wanted Avraham Avinu and his children to feel, this is yours. This is yours. It's true, for whatever the reason, that some of the indigenous populations are not willingly leaving, so you're going to have to convince them, either with your logical arguments or with your flexed muscle, you're going to have to get them out, but at the end of the day, just know that it's yours. It's yours. She noach lefanav lechbosh. So beautiful. Amar Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Chanina, Maudin Chan Rabbi Lazar. So I'll say, the Chacham agreed with Rabbi Lazar, that, so the Chacham normally hold, that in order to make a chazaka on land, you need a real proprietary act. You need a real Maisa Chazaka. Rabbi Lazar holds that even walking the land is just enough. The Gemara says, the Chacham agreed with Rabbi Lazar, Bishvil Shal Kramim. They agree that Rabbi Lazar on the pathway of a vineyard that you could acquire it just through walking. Why? Hoil V'Nasa Lehiluch Nikna Behiluch. Because Rabbi Lazar, since that pathway is made for walking, therefore you could acquire it simply by walking. Ki Asu L'Kamei Drab Yitzchak Barami. When they came before Rabbi Yitzchak Barami, they said, Amar Lehu Havu Le Havu. Excuse me. Ki Asu L'Kamei Drab Yitzchak Barami. So Rabbi Lazar, when this case came before Rabbi Yitzchak Bar Ami. Now, what's the case over here? If you take a look at the Rashbam, it's third line into the wide lines. Ki yas lekamed Rabbi Yitzchak ladun al isek adam shemasna lechadero limkar shil shal krabim. So I said this case came up where Reuven was selling to Shimon a pathway for the vineyard, and ultimately, again, Shimon wanted to know how to acquire it. And what happened? Amar lehu havulei. Kihechi didari tuna dishivishta v'hadar. So we'll say ultimately again. So Rav Yitzchak Bar Ami says that if you're going to give such a pathway, in other words, if you're selling someone a shvila pathway, ultimately again the pathway must be wide enough that someone could carry their load and turn around. So the Gemara says v'lo amran ella. But the only time, ultimately, again, you need that width. So we'll say this is now transitioning a little bit to if somebody sells another person a pathway, how wide does a pathway have to be? To which Rav Yitzchak responded, it has to be wide enough that a person can carry their load and turn around. But that's only true. V'lo amran ella demesaimen mechitzta. That's only true if the path is enclosed on both sides by walls. Then the pathway has to be wide enough that a person can carry their load and turn around. Aba lo mesaimon mechitzta. But if the pathway is not enclosed by walls, kiheichi deshakol kara umanach kara. Then I will say there's enough ultimately again to have it wide enough that literally you could lift one foot and put down another foot. So we'll say, so halacha l'maaseh, a number of things come out of here. First of all, we pass like the Chachamim, namely, again, that in order to make chazaka on land, walking on it is not enough. You have to go ahead and do some type of proprietary act. Number two, we'll say, that if you want the rabbim to go ahead and not establish a pathway along your property, you have to object. That's what you have to do. You have to object. And I will say, now the difference is you have to object every time. I said, meaning sometimes the rabbin doesn't necessarily immediately go ahead and answer. Now, I want to point out the post can bring down, if you were to post a sign, right, that says no trespassing, right, or the rabbin is hereby prohibited, so we'll say that's also macha. That's also an objection. Anything that clearly indicates that you do not want this path ultimately prevents the rabbin from having a chazaka. That being said, if the rabbin does establish a pathway, you cannot switch the pathway of the rabbin to a different pathway just because it's better for you, unless, of course, you somehow get the consent of the rabbin. Fine. So Gemara goes weiter. Derech hayochid dal rabbin. So we'll remember again, the Mishnah then spoke about this idea of the width of different areas. So for example, if I sell someone a pathway, we'll say, what is the definition of a pathway? Dalaramis. Dalaramis was 6 feet wide. So the Gemara says, Tana achirim orim kideshi yavor chamer b'maso. The achirim said that a pathway has to be wide enough that a person could pass with their donkey that's laden with its load. Rav Huna halacha kachirim. Rav Huna says, halacha falls, the achirim both said that a pathway must be that wide. But Tanya, the achirim have another brisa. Dayani gola omrim. The Dayanim of the diaspora say, Shnei Gimadim Umechza. So we'll say, the Rashbam says, Gimadim are either small amos or regular amos. For our purposes, let's just go with 2.5 amos. So the Mashvah Amrav Huna, Halacha Kidarani Gola. And yet Rav Huna says, Halacha follows the Dayari Gola. Vamrav Huna, Halacha Kachir. So we'll say, so Rav Huna is contradicting himself. Rav Huna just said, Halacha follows Achir, namely that a path must be wide enough to accommodate a donkey and its load. Then Rav Huna says, Halacha follows Dayane Gola, who says that a pathway has to be 2.5 amas. So nu Rav Huna, which one is it? To which the Gemara says, not a problem. In fact, it's one shear. In other words, that the amount of space necessary for a donkey and its load happens to be 2.5 amas. Good. So Gemara goes weiter. Derech harabim sheshesrei amas. We'll say again, if you have a public thoroughfare, right, you have an area set aside for Rishus Rabim. Rishus Rabim is 16 amos wide. Tan Rabbanon. Derech hayochid arba amos. So we'll say if you sell, now this is all important because remember again, I sell someone a pathway. I do not identify, or I do not go ahead and demarcate the dimensions of that pathway. The halacha is, Rabbi will say, how big is it? Dalaramas. Derech me'ir le'ir. Rabbi will say, what happens if a person is creating a pathway between two cities, right? So public works, a person is going out of cities, creating a pathway, a road between two cities. So we'll say that has to be Shmona Amos. That is a minimum of 8 Amos. Now, what's the Chat Nevada? It's just so interesting because you see, like, Talmudic city planning. So we'll say, where do you get 8 Amos from? Take a look at the Rashbam, last Rashbam on the page. Shmona Amos. Shem Yifku Shte Agalos Zubazu Shalis Akvu Zubazu. We'll say 8 Amos is large enough for what? Two-way traffic. So meaning if you're going between two cities, a path that leads between a road, it's not a path, it's a road between the two cities, so you need enough for two-way traffic. Amud Beis, Derech HaRabim, Parachatu Adonai, Elohim, Marach, Olam, Shakom, Yebit, Varok. Derech HaRabim, if I'm establishing ultimately, again, a Bosai, or just Rabim, how big is that? Sheish HaShamas, that's 16 hours. Derech Arei Miklat, I will say this is amazing. What about the roads that lead to an Ir Miklat, right? Ir Miklat is a city of refuge where someone goes if they accidentally killed someone else. So we'll say, how large do those roads have to be? Listen to this. Shloshim Ushtayim Amos. 32 Amos. We'll say this is in width, right? So a road to an Ir Miklat has to be a 32 Amo road. Why? So we'll say, listen to this. Amrapuna, Mikra, we'll say, now what is this based on? Dichsev, Talking lecha derech. Derech ha derech. So we'll say, when the pasuk speaks about preparing a road, it says, Talking lecha ha derech. Prepare for yourself the road. Which Shabbos say, the Rashbam points out, the Chazal understand to mean, Haderech means like a double derech. So therefore, again, if Lemais, again, a regular surab in the 16 amos, so the road ultimately, again, I will say, to their surabim essentially has to be what? Like a two-way highway in each direction. I will say, now what's the chap over here? Because if there's one road that you cannot afford to have traffic jams on, it is the road to the Ir Miklat. Because I will say, if at the end of the day, the accidental killer gets stuck in traffic, so I will say, we may have an incredible problem. Says it's right, an incredible yisod in city planning over here. That where the surah, which Rabbi Sai is pretty big, is 16 amos wide. The road ultimately to your miklat, 32 amos wide. Incredible. Weiter. So the Gemara says, Derech HaMelech Ein Lo Shir. The pathway of the king has no shir. In other words, that the king could establish a road any size that he wants. Why? Shamelech poreitz geder la'asos lo derech ve'in memachin biyado. Because Rabbi said the king has the right to go ahead and breach a fence, make himself a path, and no one could stop him. Rabbi said that there's a concept by the melech, ultimately again, of eminent domain. That the king could go ahead and pretty much do whatever he wants. Rabbi said now it has to be logical, and furthermore again, the king is obligated to compensate the person whose land he is taking, and ultimately also obligated to pay for any kind of inconvenience or disruption that causes, but the king absolutely has the right to take the property he wants to do with it as he needs. The derech hakevra ein lo shir. So we'll say, this is actually very interesting. And the derech of a kevra. Now, what is in the derech of a kevra? We'll say, so what this means is the pathway to get to a grave. In other words, Reuven passes away, and what happens? We have to bury him. So we'll say, so now, if I take the major paths to the cemetery, so it's a circuitous route, but it happens to be there's a shortcut through Shimon's field. So the halach is, we'll say, that I am permitted to take the shortcuts, right? When I say I, the funeral procession, is permitted to go ahead and cut through the field in order to get to the Beis HaKvaras. What's the reason for that? Mishum Mikra DeShachva. That is covered for the deceased. Take a look at the Rashbam. It's almost right across. Mishum Mikra DeShachvi. She'in Zeh Kavod HaMeis LaHavriach Es HaMalavim Oso Mikan. So we'll say, it's not Derech HaMeis to cause the funeral party to have to go in a circuitous route. And therefore, again, Aloch HaLamaisa, obviously this is societal as well. You could cut across fields in order to go ahead and bury the dead. Mishum Mikra DeShachva. I'm sorry, Derech HaKevet, I'm Mahamad. So we'll say this is actually very, we're going to get now into a number of interesting sugyas. So literally the Mishnah said that a ma'amad, so remember we spoke about this a little bit yesterday, ma'amad Rabbi Osei was the process through which they used to conduct a levayus. Remember again, the way it is clear that the way we do Levayas today, is not the way it was done in the times of Chazal. Meaning the notion of going, I think I mentioned this yesterday, the notion of going to a funeral home and having hespedim, so that generally was not done. What was done instead is that they would be malava the mace, they would go ahead and escort the casket, the corpse, and they would stop at different times, right? They would do ma'amado, so they would stop rabos at different times, they would literally sit, people would go ahead and say, we have a zecher to this practice. We know, again, we do this at the cemetery. I mean, different cemeteries have different customs with this, but we do ma'amados. Now, the truth is, the reason we do ma'amados, we do seven stops at the cemetery, is a little bit different. We do this because there's a concept that when a person passes away, that there's a ruach ro, whatever this means, there's some type of spirit of impurity that is malava them. So we do shema ma'amados, we do seven stops at the Beis Olam, at the cemetery, in order to somehow that chases away the ruach ro, whatever it means. But lamaisa, the origin of that practice, of the stops, was how they used to conduct the levaya. They would go, stop, sit, hesped, get back up, travel a bit more, stop again, hesped. So the Gemara says the following. So we'll say, before the Gemara gets into that statement, the Gemara gets into another interesting case. Hamochar Kivro. We'll say somebody sells his grave. Now, what does this mean? So the guy has, we'll call him Reuven. Reuven has a family plot. So what happens? Reuven has his own slot over there, you know, his own kever. The reason I say slot, we'll say, is because we're going to see, you already see, by the way, on the pictures of tomorrow's daf, we'll discuss a little bit more. The way they used to bury was exceptionally interesting. The truth is, you can see this today, right by the kever of Shimon HaTzadik in Yerushalayim. In East Yerushalayim, there's the kever of Shimon HaTzadik, which is an incredible, incredible place to go. They have a burial cave right next to it. They call it the burial cave of the Sanhedrin HaKatan. We'll get into that more tomorrow, but I will say the way they used to bury was the following. So remember, in Eretz Yisrael, one thing is clear. What is always at a premium in Eretz Yisrael? Land. But Rabbi say, now if you see what they're doing by Hara Menuchos, it's incredible. In Hara Menuchos now, they are digging subterranean burial plots. I mean, meaning literally into the mountain itself. It's incredible. So I will say, so the idea of what they used to do, meaning if you want to save space, what do? So they would have caves. Somebody would die. They would hew out?
Yeah.
Right. Hew. Yeah, seriously, come on, drink your coffee first, then you get out. It's a one cup minimum before you could weigh in over here. So what they would do is they would hew out the stone. They would put the body on the stone. The body would decompose. They would collect the bones and they would bury the bones in the ground. The advantage of that, of course, is bones take up a lot less space than ultimately a body. Keeping the body in a cave is still considered to be kfura bakarko. And I also said, that's why, again, remember from our Moed Katan days. Remember our Moed Katan days, we spoke about the concept of likut atzamos. So we always assume likut atzamos meant that if somebody wanted to move the grave of a loved one, but lav dafka moved the grave. Often this was a practice. You would collect the bones and they would bury those bones in the family plot. Okay, well, we'll see this more tomorrow. Shem's very interesting. So the verse is the following. What's happening here? Reuven sold his grave. All right, times are tough. Reuven happens to have a good grave. He sold his grave. Or derech kivro. Or Rabbi say he sold the path to his grave. In other words, the grave itself, let's say, has a path associated with it. So he sold his path. He sold the path. Makom ma'amado. Or Rabbi say, for that matter, he had a space for his ma'amad. In other words, he owned space where a ma'amad could take place. Obeis hespedo, or a place where his hesped could take place. What's the halacha, Rabbi say? So now Reuven dies. Ba'in b'nei mishpacha b'kovrin osel al karcho mishum pegam mishpacha. This is a fascinating halacha. When Reuven dies, his family has the right to go ahead and bury him in his burial spot, even though what's Rabbi saying? Even though he sold it. Now the Rashbam points out over here, now the family is allowed to bury Reuven in that spot. Now of course they have to compensate the purchaser. So they have to give back the money to the purchaser, but they're permitted to bury Reuven in his belt. Why? Mishum pegam mishpacha. Because it will say, ultimately, again, this would reflect poorly on the family if a family member was not buried in the family plot. So therefore, in order to go ahead and save the family from embarrassment, they bury Reuven in the family plot, and they repay the purchaser the money that he paid. Ten Rabbanon, Ein pochsin mishiva ma'amados umoshavos. L'meis, we'll say, we do not do less than seven ma'amados and moshavos. So we'll say ma'amod moshav is this lashon of sitting down and standing up. In other words, we don't stop less than seven times in the course of a funeral procession. Keneged, I will say, where do we get seven from? This is amazing. Keneged, havel havalim amar koheles, havel havalim hakol havel. Corresponding to the seven times that Shlomo Melech used the word hevel, nothingness, in his opening pasuk of Koheles. So we'll say, what is the connection over here between seven times hevel and the levaya? We'll say, Rav Tukachinsky brings down this yisod in his Sefer Geshra Chaim. He says, you know, we'll say, if we believe that when a person dies, the neshama goes to Gan Eden, right, that there's a world of eternal bliss, a spiritual bliss that's waiting for this neshama, then why do we mourn when a person dies? So of course the simple answer is we mourn for ourselves, we mourn over our own loss. But Rav Tukachinsky also develops this yisod that mourning, a levaya, has paid them at some point, also because they remind us that life is a finite, non-renewable resource. It reminds us that at some point in time, life comes to an end. Some live longer, some live shorter, and we so often end up spending our lives on things that are inconsequential, unimportant. Therefore, again, says the Gemara, we do Sheva Ma'amados, corresponding ultimately to the seven times the word Hevel appears in the Pasuk in Koheles, to remind those who are at Levaya, don't spend your life with Hevel. Don't spend your life with nothingness. Our time on this earth is short. Even if a person lives 120 years, that's still short. And we know it goes by in the blink of an eye. Make sure to maximize your life and don't get swept up in the havel havalim of life. So Ravacha, Brei Rava said to Ravashi, so now how do we conduct ourselves? So Amar Lei Kedisanya, Amar Rav Yehuda B'Yehuda B'Rishona, Lo Hayupoch Sin Mishiva Ma'amados U'Moshavos L'Meis. That in Yehuda, we'll say in the beginning, their practice was that they would not do less than seven. They call it Ma'amad U'Moshav. We'll say Ma'amad means to stand up, Moshav means to sit down. So remember, they would carry the Aron, they would stop, they would sit. Right, hespedim. Then they get back up. That's what they call ma'amadu moshav. Kigon amdu yikarim amodu shavu yikarim shavu. So also what they would do is they would carry the aron. Then when the procession would start, they would say amdu yikarim amodu, stand up, precious one, stand up. That would be the call to move. And then when they would stop for this thing, they would say shavu yikarim shavu, sit down, precious ones, sit down. Amr lo imkenaf b'shabes motelasos kein. So he said to him, well, if that's the case, why can't we do this practice on Shabbos as well? Now we'll see what this means. What do you mean on Shabbos? We'll see that he was referring to a case over here. We know we don't do ma'amadu moshav on Shabbos. When would this ever come up on Shabbos? So we'll see if you have a situation where you bury someone right before Shabbos. You could have a situation where people are coming back from the cemetery, or for that matter, the kvura is done before Shabbos starts. So yeah, we don't do ma'amadu moshav on Shabbos. So the Gemara says the following: Achse drayim bar papa have an esibale l'rav avya. So we'll say what happened. The sister of drayim bar papa was married to Rav Avya. So what happens? Shchiva, she passed away. Avadlo, so we'll say Rav Avya, who is now the widower. Rav Avya, the widower, Avadlo Ma'amadu Moshav. We'll say he did Ma'amadu Moshav for his wife. Right? So meaning he went ahead, he got up seven times, sat down seven times, made the announcements. Am Rav Yosef, Ta'a Betarti. Rav Avya made two mistakes. Number one, Ta'a Shein Osin El Bikrovim. First of all, we'll say, interestingly enough, the process of Ma'amadu Moshav was not controlled by the Avelim. That was not a process choreographed by the Avelim. Rather, that was a process that was choreographed, bless you, by the relatives of the Avelim, meaning the non-mourner relatives of the mourners, if that makes sense. So, for example, if Rav Avya is a mourner, so his siblings, right? So again, so mistake number one is that Rav Avya choreographed himself, and Lameisa, again, this was not a process to be choreographed by mourners. Look at Rashbam for just a moment. First of the wide lines, Ela b'krovim, krove hameis, she'ina misavlin. People related to the deceased, but who are not halachic mourners, bo'im l'ma'amados u'moshavos l'kavod hameis. They are the ones who come to do the ma'amad u'moshav. V'hu avad afilu b'rechokim. And ultimately, again, Rav Avya allowed this to happen even with people who were unrelated. Number two, v'tashen osin el b'yom rishon v'av b'yom sheni. First of all, we'll say number two, ma'amad u'moshav is only done yom rishon. Rav will say yom rishon means the actual date of death. The actual date of death. And Rav Abya actually choreographed this process to happen on the day after. Abai Amar Bahan Namito. Abai Rav Abya also made another mistake. Shein Osin Ela Bebe Sakvaras. That this process, Rav Abya, is only done where? In the cemetery itself. Vahu Asa Be'ir. And yet Rav Abya, Rav Abya, didn't do this in the cemetery. Rather, where did he do this? He did this in the city. Rava Amar Bahan Namito. Rava says, okay, apparently Rav Abya made a lot of mistakes with this. But right, Rava also said he made another mistake. Shein Osin Ela B'Makom Shenagu. Rav Abya, furthermore, again, Ma'amal Dumoshav was not a practice that was done everywhere. And it's only done in a place where that is the Minag HaMakom. Vahasam Lo Nahog. And Rav Abya, here the practice ultimately is not like that. Meisvei Amrulo Imkeinat B'Shabbos Mutalasos Kein. So one second, we said before, the Chacham said to Rabbi Lazar, if that's the case where you're describing Ma'amad Moshav, so then why can't you even do this on Shabbos? To which the Gemara says, V'i Amr B'Sakvaros B'Yom Echad B'Sakvaros B'Shabbos My Boy. So the Gemara says, therefore, if you tell me, however, that Ma'amad Moshav only occurs where? Only occurs on the first day, i.e. the burial, and in the cemetery, then I will say, how would you ever have a situation of where Ma'amadu Moshav could occur on Shabbos? To which the Gemara says, I'll tell you how. Bi'ir hasmucha lebeis hakvaras. I will say, it could happen in the following. You have to understand something also. I will say, that obviously, to arrange a levaya took much less coordination than it does today. You know, today a person passes away, I will say. So again, there's, depending on where a person passes away, a hospital or at home, there are many, many things that have to be done before you could place a person in the Adama. Right? You go ahead and you decide to take that body, put it in your car and go bury it, you're going to get yourself into a lot of trouble. That's not, obviously not the model they're working off of. The model they're working off of is somebody passes away, you bury them immediately. So the Maaseh Gemara says, what's the case over here? The case is where someone went ahead and died close to Shabbos. There was enough time, and the Beis HaKvaras, the cemetery, was close to the city. They went ahead, dat muya lebein hashmashos. They went ahead and they buried the person mamish right before Shabbos. So what I say, the point is that now that the kvura is over, it's Shabbos. It's Shabbos. So then the shayla is, the Gemara is saying, then the Chachamim were saying, if all you're describing as ma'amadu moshav is what? Is getting up and sitting down, then bepashtos, you could even technically do that on Shabbos, because of course there is no chilul Shabbos involved in it. Rabbi say, so obviously, we don't have this form of practice of Ma'amad Moshav. We have Ma'amados, as I said before, that we still do at the cemetery, where we stop seven times. But again, during that time, it's not the typical Ma'amados that they're describing over here. But again, even in places where they did the Ma'amados, where they did the seven stops, that was not done on Shabbos. I will say it was not done on Shabbos for a much simpler reason, which is that on Shabbos we have no public displays of Avelos. On Shabbos, Dvarim Shabbatzina, private or quieter displays of Avelos are in effect. Public displays of Avelos are not. Ma'amados would be a public display of Avelos, therefore, again, not done on Shabbos. I will say we'll stop over here for today. Mirat Hashem, we'll pick up with the Mishnah tomorrow.